Excited to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series and owner of Hollow Man Publishing and American Made VA. Paul, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm very excited today. We have John McNulty with us, who is a CEO of a company, and he's going to tell us all about the company. So welcome, John.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Thanks, John, for stopping by. And we're going to talk about how did this whole thing start as a CEO? Were you a CEO of another company before DigBridge? How did it develop?
Well, I mean, I spent 25 years in the corporate world. I was a vice president with Wilson Sporting Goods. I was a senior vice president with the Brunswick Corporation. I was vice president general manager with Kodak. And started to get pretty involved there. We were going to merge with Motorola at that time, and got very involved with digital and mobile communication and privacy as a result of that experience. We never pulled off the merger. It kind of fell apart at the last minute. And, I was president of McGregor Golf worldwide, was brought in to pull them out of bankruptcy and relaunch them. So a lot of corporate background, a lot of background in digital and mobile, digital, video, et cetera, and then hooked up with some Purdue and Northwestern University technologists after that. And we saw that this whole thing was moving very quickly in the direction of mobile and video and data privacy, et cetera. So we launched DigBridge be kind of on the leading edge of that.
All right. So let's talk about DigBridge. Who is DigBridge?
Well, we are a Web 3.0 data privacy focused marketing communication technology company, and we specialize in mobile and video and data privacy.
Can you explain why you launched DigBridge and what is your mission?
Yeah, I mean, initially, it was to really. DigBridge, as the name kind of indicates, digital bridge, to kind of bridge between the old world of kind of Web 2.0 and the new world of Web 3.0. That was our vision. We thought a lot of things were going to change very quickly. So that was that's why we launched the company. And we have a platform that converts. We believe that all marketing touch points should be opt-in, mobile video interactive. I mean, right down to your business cards, quite frankly. And the data that you pull back should be private to you, to your company. It shouldn't be shared data, which is currently the business model over the last 20 years or so with Facebook and, Instagram and TikTok and Google. All the data is being shared. We thought that was a huge problem in marketing and general communication, and we wanted to change that.
You mentioned DigBridge is a data privacy-focused tech company. What is the value to the organizations?
Well, there's a lot of values. At a simple marketing level, okay, your leads cost you a lot of money to get leads. There's all sorts of charts out there that we can all research by category. I mean, a high quality lead in healthcare is worth about $285 in financial services. A high quality lead is worth about $280 in technology, worth about $275. That's how much it costs to acquire a high quality lead. And to us, what's happened over the last 20 years in Web 2.0, the Googles and Facebooks of the world, which really have become synonymous with Web 2.0, they have kind of bamboozled us into believing that all of your leads should be shareable and mineable, right, and accessible by your competitors. Now, that used to be grounds for termination. If I had a chief marketing officer or a director of marketing reporting to me back in my old world prior to launching DigBridge, and I found out that they were giving our leads away to our competitors, I mean, if I'm at Wilson and they're giving the leads away to TaylorMade or Nike, somebody's probably going to lose their job. Right. But if you think of how crazy this whole Web 2.0 world became in marketing, right, since, the world of Google and Facebook, Meta, Instagram, they kind of dumbed us down into thinking that's normal. Well, it's not normal. It's actually It's absolutely not normal. You pay a lot of money for your leads and your relationships with your customers, and you should keep them private to you. So that's what we do.
Before I go to one question I know you want me to cover, I'm going to jump into this as a follow-up because it's really intriguing me as a marketing agency myself. I mean, imagine we would share one of my clients' email marketing. I mean, all the emails of a client. Here's 3,000 leads. Or let's say ZoomInfo said, by the way, you know, we're going to sell these to you. But no, we're going to also give your competitors all of your emails because we're going to data mine your emails. Right. That's pretty much what Facebook does.
That's what they do. We use the analogy. We speak a lot at conferences and so forth. And we try to interject some humor, right? But it's like the BMW dealership. You know, they have all their salespeople, right? And they're supposed to get leads each week. Then on Saturday morning, they have their sales meeting. And how many leads did we get? Okay, how are we going to follow up with our leads? And the sales manager says, hey, I got a good idea. I'm going to take all these leads and I'm going to send them over to the Mercedes dealership. I'm not think of how crazy that is, right? That's
nuts.
Crazy when you say it. But that's what Facebook does, and TikTok and Instagram and Google AdWords. That's what they all do. It's you don't have to do that. I mean,
no, you don't. And that's, John, do you think that's the reason why the cost per conversion is so high?
Absolutely.
On those platforms? Because explain that for our audience that just doesn't get that. They're like, oh, cool, I can market the same people that so-and-so's marketing to,
right,
based on their platform. But what it does is what you feel it does.
You said it. You summed it up. You know,
oversaturates the game. Everyone's advertising that has no clue because they got the data from somebody else.
No, you're summing it up honestly, probably better than me. Really, when you interject some humor too, which is always good. You know,
I came up and I said, this makes no sense. Like, you talk to these people and you're allowing now people in the marketing game that really aren't marketers, John,
right,
because all they do is use Facebook.
High fives to you, man. It's a
trend. Okay, good. I'm glad you feel that, because it's really, oh, you just get a bunch of people. But if you had them in a room right now, John, because you and I are guys in a room that could brainstorm ideas to market for a certain company. If we had them in a room, we come up with genius ideas. But a lot of these people are making millions or close to like $100 million a year as a company, don't have a clue how to market to that company. And yet, because they use paid ads and use the data, that makes them geniuses when they have no clue.
It's honestly, I got to give you the high fives again, man. It's like you're summing it up. It's that ridiculous, honestly. And then you get into categories like healthcare and see, I'm on the state of Indiana's Technology Data Privacy Committee, working directly with our state legislature and our attorney general's office to help craft Indiana's new data privacy law, which has been passed and signed into law by our governor. Now, there's 20 other states coming right behind us with their own data privacy laws. Their main focus as a starting point is healthcare. See, that's where you get sued. There, it's not just about your leads, sharing your leads. But you're going to get sued. You know, the attorney general's office will come after you for you know, violating. A lot of people refer to it as digital HIPAA. You know, digital HIPAA. Like we have people in my company, you know, investors in our company, they're doctors at big medical centers, and they sign a consent form with their patients, right? You got a consent form. So the patient gives you their data, all of their personal information. To help the doctor and the doctor's colleagues, you know, serve them better, right? But the consent form didn't give the hospital the right to share the data with Facebook, right?
No.
And the Southeast Asian data brokers, right? Honestly, to sell it to the Wuhan lab in North Korea.
They're not going to do that. And if we could, let's just say you're sitting in companies now that are business to business. If we were able to give the data that they give away to personal people's information and businesses, that would be crazy. Meaning, just imagine, you know, you have to sell to the CMO of a company or a CFO of a company. You still can't target to those people because that data is not available, but it shouldn't be privacy. Personal data shouldn't either. So you're saying definitely Web 2.0 has broken data privacy perspective. Kind of give me some examples. What did you mean by that? I think we've kind of summed that up in certain ways, but I think let's talk about some examples where Web 2.0 digital data privacy risk has financially impacted organizations. Give me some of those.
Good question. Okay, you're in Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
Just look it up. University of Pittsburgh Medical Center got hit with a data privacy breach. Okay, probably going to cost them a couple $100 million financially or in damage to their brand reputation. Okay. University of Chicago Medical Center, Cleveland Clinic has gotten hit. More recently here, okay, if you look up Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, L-U-R-I-E, Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, probably the most prestigious children's hospital, maybe in the Midwest. Okay. They just got hit. And that's going to cost them probably a few $100 million. Okay. Community Health Networks, which has multiple facilities in Pennsylvania. You know, when I go back there, you know, we do some work in Pennsylvania as well. Look it up. They got hit, data privacy breach. And they're coming in through the tracker codes on the website, everything you just talked about. I mean, part of how they get into you is through the tracker codes, you know, through the digital marketing, you know, the Facebook and Meta and TikTok tracker codes plastered all over their websites that their chief marketing officer is blunderously using to conduct digital marketing campaigns. So
So you're talking about healthcare making some big mistakes.
Huge. You could look it up right in Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, data privacy breach. Just punch it in.
Wow.
Pull it up. You'll see it.
So what this is such interesting information. What types of clients would value the most of DigiBridge's privacy-focused MarCom tech services?
Okay, yeah. Any marketer, I mean, as I said at the beginning, you know, marketing is all about leads, right? Leads and there's an old expression in marketing, all marketing is loyalty marketing, right? You know, trying to get a relationship with a prospective client and you'd like that relationship to be private. So we do a lot with small businesses. Well, you know, a lot of small businesses that just, they don't understand this, you know, and they don't have the technology to build workarounds. So we do a lot with small businesses, but, you know, our number one category of focus, I'll have to tell you, is healthcare. We're starting to move into defense contractors as well and financial services. And you would be stunned if I were to show you the defense, U.S. defense contractors, major defense contractors, and the tracker codes all over their websites that are sucking the data out and sharing it with God knows who. And then we wonder why the Chinese aircraft carriers look just like ours. You know, that's really how crazy this is, you know.
Wow. As you mentioned, DigiBridge's marketing ROI focus. What do you mean by that?
Well, we have a simple philosophy. Okay. We believe that in the world of omnichannel marketing, like a fancy word, but it just simply means all of your touch points, a touch point could be a business card. It could be a brochure. You could be speaking at a community event, which we all do, right? At a podium. Okay. You could print ads, TV ads, radio ads. We believe all touch points, like airport ads, you know, sides of, but everything should be opt-in interactive, mobile video interactive,
right.
And it should pull back opt-in consensual leads for you, and they should be private. Okay. That, so it's very ROI. We're kind of obsessed over marketing ROI, and see, robots don't text. Okay. So what you have now, which is what Elon Musk has walked right into with Twitter. See, when he got so far along with Twitter, he had already made the commitments. Then he realizes that, hey, the Twitter universe of supposed subscribers, half of them are robots. Now think about that. Facebook's the same way. The half of them are robots. They're not even real people. So you got advertisers paying to reach, let's say, 100
million. I knew that. I had a feeling, and you're finally telling me this.
And so you're paying.
So a lot of your leads are not real people.
No, they're not even real Pete, that's how their system works. It's gamed. You read about Elon Musk and that acquisition of Twitter.
Yeah, half of the people aren't real on Twitter.
Half of the people, that's what you can still pull up the articles. He's like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Half of these people are not even real. What am I doing here? How do I charge the advertisers now to reach robots, right?
All right, so that's important. So talk about private leads versus public leads. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Everything on Facebook, TikTok, I hate to keep picking on them, but they are who they are. So they are public leads. You know, that's why it's free to use them. I mean, that's why everybody can join Facebook and it's all free because they're selling you. You are the product that they're selling to their, right, to their marketers, to their advertisers, right? So you are a public lead to Facebook. That they slice and dice your data and they make it available to whomever wants to try to reach you. And it may not just be advertisers. Okay, could be nefarious people as well. Okay, that's how a lot of the phishing attacks get started and so forth. Okay, so that's a public lead, right? That's Web 2.0. Everything going through Web 2.0 is public. It's not private. Okay, now as an example, if you want, we often suggest and recommend, if you want private leads, telecom, okay, texting, you're halfway down the football field with texting. Like if you have Gillette, okay, I'm gonna use Gillette as an example because they're one of our clients, okay? But we explained to them the difference between public leads and private leads, and we showed them how using our texting, SMS texting platform, linking into mobile video, has to all be opt-in, right? Opt-in, but when the people opt into it, you're creating private one-to-one channels with them that are not, and the way we did this is more complicated than it sounds, but we led them to a microsite, a web page that does not exist within the public internet. Okay, it's a Web 3.0 web page. Okay, that's the key to the whole thing. So you're halfway there if you use telecom, because telecom is very tightly regulated by the Federal Communications Commission, unlike the public internet, which has no regulations yet at all, but it will. It'd be like, let's say you're at Macy's and you're a member of their text loyalty program. Okay. That is pretty close to being a private lead. Okay. It's very difficult to be able to mine that and hand that off to, you know, Neiman Marcus.
Got it. Okay. So, and basically how do you set that up for a company?
Well, we set it up, you know, there's an onboarding process. Some of it is our intellectual property. I can't go into too much detail, but we give them, we set up a private, we use a proprietary SMS texting based system. Okay. And we give them their own private network, which is usually a short code. Okay. Now we've done some consulting work in the political world as well, pro bono consulting work. And there's if you text Trump, the word Trump to 88022, okay, that's a private network. Okay. And we gave his people some guidance on that pro bono. If you with Gillette as an example, if you text shave to 88512, that's a private network, and then it enables them to create private channels. Now the key to that is our Web 3.0 microsite. Okay, I can't go into the
details. That's involving blockchain and everything as we continue to evolve, right?
It's in the same kind of logic world as blockchain. I mean, blockchain, as you guys know, is...
So it's all Web 3.0. You're one of the first people in Web 3.0 as a marketing company.
Yeah.
We're
coming at it from a marketing privacy perspective. Blockchain, you know, that's being used for a lot of other things, but it's all part of Web 3.0. But we think the way we make our money is really marketing and communication privacy, private networks, private channels with individuals, you know, private leads.
Got it. Okay. best place people can find information on DigiBridge? Where can they go?
Okay, if you want to go to, you know, HTTPS, you know, et cetera, digibridge.com/about, and watch that video, digibridge.com/about.
All right, John, we appreciate it. Great conversation. Hey, thanks, guys, for stopping by.
It's good chatting with you.
All right, okay. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.